want us to look at something, because last week we talked about the idea of the three chairs, and we said the only solution is we have to get back to the first chair. And for those of you that might not have been with us, we're going to change it a little bit. We're going to say it's a chair of commitment, a chair of compromise, and a chair of conflict. And because of the compromise, it's why you have the conflict. Because compromise always gets in the way of commitment. And there has to be a way. We said the only solution is really to get back to being sold out for Jesus. You know, and the idea of compromise, and you know, another way they say it is you got to go along to get along. That's one of the problems we're seeing in our government right now. You know, if we just do this, maybe they'll like us. See, and you get somebody in there that says, I don't care whether you like me. I was put here to do a job. See, you have been called to do a job. It ain't pretty, you know. But it's a job you were called to do. See, Jesus called the 12 disciples to do a job. But 11 of them failed. One. Only one. John. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this. John is the only one that died a natural death. He went through a lot more than the others, but he was a high-value target. All the other 11, when they were called, they came. They even went through the motions. But when push came to shove, to prove they weren't part, they even went back to their old Navy language just so people wouldn't know. God says, I called you to be at the foot of the cross. We want him to call us to the cross. We just don't want to be at the foot of it when the fur starts to fly. Or as they say today, when the fecal matter hits the rotating device. That's when we want to leave. So God says, if you're going to be committed to me, if you're going to be surrendered to me, if you're going to be sold out, how in the world do you... It's easy to say. Ask Peter. Ask Judas. And I've heard sermons saying, and I've even done sermons on Judas had more faith than all the other disciples. Because he really thought Jesus would come down from that cross. See, he never thought. I mean, he had watched Lazarus come out of the tomb. And when you see Lazarus come out of the tomb, you say, I think that's where the song Bill Gaither or Dottie Rambo, I don't know who wrote the song, who was on the Lord's side. I think it was Judas when Lazarus came out of the tomb. Who is on the Lord's side? I'm with him. Just like Hillary, remember Hillary? I'm with her. Judas had one of those sweatshirts. I'm with him. I'm with him. You the man. Yeah. That's where he was that day. But then when 30 pieces of silver showed up, you know what? I'm going to snooker him. I'm going to get the silver, and when they go to lay hands on him, he's going to shake them off and walk away. But he didn't. The others, all but John, forsook him. So how is it that you move from compromise to commitment? When we were in port, when I was in the service, when we were in port, one of my jobs was, I had several. One would be to identify bodies. They'd give you a picture and you had to go identify them, because that's what duty drivers did. You know, you had to go say, yeah, that's him. And the other was, if there were dignitaries, you had to drive them around. Didn't matter what country you were in, you know, Japan, Hong Kong, you know, Philippines, you had to drive them around. And two of the men that I drove around left an impression with me. I mean, I still remember both of them. If I told you their names, everybody would know their names, but they were high-ranking officials. And one of them, you know, said something to me, and I said, said to him, I said, how's it going? He didn't say anything. I said, man, you've got it made. You have it made. Anything you want, anywhere, you can just do it. And he said, what good is it if your son is a fool? That one stuck with me. The other one got in the vehicle. See, we used to take our own vehicles because you never know what they're going to do to vehicles. We weren't in friendly territory. I mean, you know, that was 67, 68. Yeah, and somebody asked me if I was at Woodstock. I told him I was a little tied up at the time. Yeah. But this guy gets in, he says, I need to know, do you take chances? That's what, if you mean, do I play poker? Yes. Matter of fact, you can have Kay show you sometime. I said, I just won my wife a service for 12, Noritake, China, playing poker. Yeah, I take chances. He said, no, I mean driving. I said, no, I like me too much to take chances. See, I went through that in my teenage years. By the time, you know, people were shooting at you, you stopped taking chances. Now, you know, that whole thing was going. So he said, let me tell you a story. He said, I was hiring a chauffeur, and three people applied. He said, so there was a road in the town where I lived. He said, old road, old logging road. He said, and I always would use that to test out people. He said, because there was no guardrail and the cliff, he said, was 500 to 1,000 feet. He said, after 100, does it really make a difference? He said, so I would say, I need you to go up this road. He said, and I took the first driver. He said, and he went so close to the edge. He was trying to impress me. He said, I looked over. He said, I couldn't see anything. He said, we got back, and he said, were you impressed? He said, yeah, well, yeah, I was impressed. He said, I'll be in touch. He said, the second guy gets in. He says, he had half the tire off the road going around the curve. We got back. He said, I bet that impressed you. He said, oh, yeah, that impressed me. He said, the third guy got in. He stayed so far away from the edge that the mountainside on the other side hit the mirror. He said, you're hired. See, it's not how close to get into the first chair. It's not how close you can get to temptation. It's how far you can stay away from it. See, you don't need to get near danger. I tell people, I don't need another testimony. If he gives me one, fine. I tell people all the time, I need neither of two things. I don't need a bigger plate, and I don't need more on the plate I have. However, if he piles more on, I'll take care of it. Yeah. The Bible puts it this way, in a very unique way. In Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Beginning with verse 3. He's talking about how do you move from compromise to commitment. And he says, though the lips of the forbidden woman drip honey, and her words are smoother than oil, in the end, she's as bitter as wormwood and as sharp as a double-edged sword. See, I just told my granddaughters one time when we were down at Disney, somebody said something. I said, seeing is not believing. There used to be a saying, seeing is believing. My daddy used to say, only believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. Yeah. You want to know why the president is like he is? He's a builder, for goodness sake. He can see what's happening. Yeah. He can see when a building's going up. They're coming at him with impeachment. They're going to try to undo an election. And he's saying, MCUSA? He's seeing prayers back in school. He's seeing school lunches have been changed. See? Don't listen to what they're saying. He's a liar. Somebody said to me, I guess last week while we were on vacation, they said, well, he lied. He said Mexico was going to pay for the wall. I said, they are. Well, no, they're not. Yes, they are. Do you know how much we're saving by people not coming across the border? And who's paying to keep them on the other side of the border? Mexico. We're saving more than enough to pay for that wall. Mexico's paying. No, they're not stroking a check. Yeah. It doesn't matter. So it says, that's what temptation is. That's the way it is. I mean, it sounds good. And it's smooth as oil. There's a fellow attends church out on Route 3, and his license plate is smooth. Yeah, that's what he's saying. It's smooth. Yeah. It says, her feet go down to death. Her steps head straight for hell. It's monopoly. Go to hell, go straight to hell, do not collect $200. You know, that's what it says, go straight. It isn't, see, God draws straight with crooked lines. We were talking about that in class, you know, like, and Linda was just talking about it in the testimony. I know he's taking you all this way and that way. He took Joseph all these different ways, but he draws straight with crooked lines. The devil doesn't. You know, he goes straight. They say, well, Eve was deceived. You know, look, if a snake, first off, if I see a snake, I'm not going to talk to it. You know. But she had never talked to a snake before. And now the snake's talking. How does that deceive you? I mean, I had policyholders who told me their dogs could talk. Yeah, now they might make sounds, but if you're having a conversation with a dog, Snowden's right down the street, people. Yeah. Now, I've had some conversations with jackasses before, but never a dog. Yeah. It says, she's going straight to hell. She doesn't consider the path of her life. She doesn't know that her ways are unstable. And she doesn't care. She doesn't care because misery likes company. Have you ever jumped into a pool and it's freezing cold? Did you tell the other people it was freezing cold? No. You're standing there turning blue going, come on in. Water's fine. Really? So now, my sons, listen to me and don't turn away from the words of my mouth. One of the problems is with Eve, she had to turn away from what God told her, just like we do. God says all things are possible, and we go, well, most. Everything but. Remember, sheep follow goat's butt? Listen to my voice. My sheep know my voice. One of the problems is we've listened to so many other voices, we don't recognize the shepherd's voice. It says, keep your way far from her. Here's the key. Don't go near the door of her house. Wendell, I don't know if you ever went to Holland or not. We had the privilege of going when I was in the service. Not we, you know, we. Me and Jesus, you know. In Amsterdam, you window shop for prostitutes. They sit in the window showing their wares. You know how not to get hooked up with one of those prostitutes? Don't go near the door. Because I'm telling you right now, if you go near the door, you're going to end up inside. Because the closer you get, the more she's going to show. Yeah. Don't go near the door. See, he's saying if you deal with the door rather than the prostitute, or as he says here, the forbidden woman, we want to deal with the sin. He says, don't get anywhere near it. Get your mirror scraping the mountain. I don't have to worry about how deep that is. Because I'm so far over to this edge that I'm scraping the wall. I'm so close to Jesus, I ain't going near the door. See, me and Jesus have become one, that they may become one as we are one. How did Jesus make it for 40 days in the wilderness? That they may become one as we are one. I and the Father are one. Are you and Jesus one? Well, sometimes. Could you imagine, Carol, somebody saying, Eli, is Carol your wife? Well, sometimes. I know you never had an argument, but that would be the first. And when he came to, cancer is nothing compared to what would happen to him if he ever said that. Yeah. See, the doctor gave him 6 months. I wouldn't give him 6 minutes. He'd say something like that. See, that's moving from some dumb to plum dumb. And it says, Don't go near the door. Otherwise, you will give up your strength, your vitality. See, we say, I can handle that. I'm telling you right now, people, I can't handle nothing. There ain't nothing I can handle. But there is nothing he can't handle. I told you before about a friend of mine that was preaching. And he said, this was in a dream. He said, he was dreaming, he was in the pulpit. He said, and Jesus came down off the cross behind him and had his hands on his shoulder. He said, man, I can feel it all over me. Yeah. Jesus, we got this. We got this. He said, just then, Lucifer walks in the back door. He said, sick him, Jesus. Jesus didn't move. He's behind him. He said, Lucifer's walking the aisle. He said, I'm thinking, what's this crazy man doing? I haven't given an altar call. Why is he coming down the aisle? And he points his finger and he says, I'm coming after you. I just smirked it. He said in my dream and said, come on. I got Jesus behind me. He said, and he came. He came. And he came. He said, and me and Jesus backed up. And we backed up. He said, and we're against the wall. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I'm coming in you. He said, and he pushed to try to get him. He said, I'm suffocating. He said, I'm going back and forth. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I feel something going in my back and it's sharp and it's painful. He said, next thing I know, Jesus isn't behind me anymore. He's in me. He said, and when I realized that, he said, I took the devil and threw him out the back door. Think about that. That's what this is saying. It says, if Jesus is in you, why do we let ourselves even be tempted with those things? Don't put yourself in those situations. Yeah, I don't know how many of you have ever seen Dan Rover on TBN. He says Reaver. It's spelled like the dog, Rover. His face is, he was burned over in Vietnam with a phosphorus grenade. He was getting ready to throw it, and one of his own men, telling you, please, people, you should have seen it in color. One of his own men, he had crossed, shot it while it was in his hand. So it went all over him. There's no way to put that stuff out. And I mean, he was shipped back to the States, and he was newly married before he went over. His wife came, and he hid his face. They had done surgery on his face, and he didn't want his wife to see him in that condition, so he hid his face in the pillow, and when he pulled his head back, his face was still in the pillow. He's bad. You know, he's a good preacher, you know. One of his ears is gone. He has a fake ear he wears. And he was doing an evangelistic crusade, and it fell off, and everybody's gone. So he didn't know what they were doing. And then he looked down at the pulpit, at his notes, and there's his ear. So he takes it and sticks it back on. And it stays. He said, that night at the altar call, everybody came forward. Yeah. Yeah. Well, his organization called and wanted to know. They said, would you like to go back to Vietnam? said, no. They said, well, a lot of people like to go back. I said, P.T. Barnum's right. There is a fool born every minute. Yeah. They said, well, you know, there may be things you need to get. I said, I got rid of everything I needed to get rid of. When I left there, Henry Ford used to tell his employees, when you come to work, you hang up your coat and all your problems. And when you get home, you hang up your coat and all your problems from work. I read that quote from Henry Ford years ago, and I say it's the way it's been taught. That's what God's saying. Yeah. Let the past be the past, people. We don't need to bask in it. It'll drain you. And the devil, he's going to bring it up. He's going to say, you know what? You're not perfect. And I'll say, well, tell me something I don't know. You know you're not that smart. Well, like I didn't know that. Yeah. If I was that smart, would have I volunteered to go in the military and get sent? Yeah. Come on, I know I'm not that smart. So he says, you'll give up your vitality. If you deal with doors instead of temptation, people, what's easier to deal with? A prostitute or a door? A drug addiction or a door? Yeah. A financial problem or a door? Yeah. We just had it in our testimony time. Mary has an issue. She hasn't been paid, and her mortgage is due. Now, she can either deal with that or a door. Deal with the door. Because Jesus said, I am the door. Amen. Yeah. You deal with me. Anything that comes to you has to come through me first. I believe it puts it this way in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 10. And verse lucky 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. We used to have a saying back in the 60s, don't hear it much now, when people would say, well, I'm having this problem, I'm having that problem, we'd go, don't feel pregnant. Yeah. Yeah. That's what this is saying. There is nothing new under the sun. If you think what the president is going through is tough, try being Abraham Lincoln. Try being George Washington. When his men, when he was General Washington, his men planned a mutiny and they were going to overthrow him. Nothing new under the sun. He says, it's common to humanity. God is faithful. I think I heard Wendell say that earlier. Yeah. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Only if you're pressed against the wall and he's in you. Because I'm telling you, any temptation is too much for you. How do I get from compromise to commitment? I put up a no vacancy sign. See? Two things can't be in the same place at the same time. Jesus and Lucifer can't be in the same place at the same time. And people say, well, you know, if you go there, You can get devil possessed. And I always remember Daniel Floyd, who used to go witnessing at Dracula's ball every year. And yes, Dracula's ball. And he was up there preaching pro-life and winning people to Jesus at Dracula's ball. And he never came back possessed. I wonder why that was. Maybe because he had a no vacancy sign. He already was occupied by Jesus. Hey, somebody can only move in if you move Jesus out. So he says, but with temptation, he will also provide a way of escape. Jesus is the way. I think he said it. I am the way. I am the way. I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. So that you are able to bear it. How do you get to that commitment? Moving everything out. And see, what we do, we're American Christians are a little different. I don't know if you realize, maybe you can go down round three. Next time you go down, just go from here to where we live and start counting the self-storage places. That's what we do as Christians. We just keep it stored there. Well, I had this once in my life, you know. And I don't do it anymore, but I want to keep it safe, you know. And I'll put a lock on it so I can't get to it. Get it out, people. I don't need to go back to Vietnam to deal with it. I need to go to the cross to deal with it. See, I don't need to go back to poverty to say, well, I know what it was like. Yeah, I know what it was like. Doesn't mean I had to go back and wallow in it. He says, I will make a way out. You can choose it or you don't. See, don't go near the door. When we were in Amsterdam, we walked right along the canal. Yeah, there's the street inside, those sidewalks on that side where the doors were. And then there was the sidewalk on the other side of the street. We always stayed on the other side of the street. Not going near it. Not going near it. And you may have heard people say, well, it doesn't hurt to look. Let me tell you what King David says. King David, Psalm 1:1. Put Psalm 1:1 up. And I put it in King James. Do you have King James? It's written better in King James. I hate to say that, but it is. Well, it's not better. It's just the way I like it. Yeah. This is another don't go near the door verse. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. That's what, you know what that's saying? That's the progression of sin. Walketh is driving by Dunkin' Donuts. And you go, I love Dunkin' Donuts. Krispy Kreme. I love Krispy Kreme. Dunkin' Donuts don't tempt me. Krispy Kreme. Oh, Krispy Kreme. Yeah. Just driving by the place. Then it says, you park out front. Standeth. You know, if I just sit here and smell it, We knew a woman on the Northern Neck, you know, gave up. She became a Christian, gave up oyster stew because she didn't, but she thought it was bad for her to eat, so she didn't eat it because God told her not to eat it. So she'd make a pot of oyster stew and she'd smell it and then she'd throw it away. You know, that's what that is. It's sitting in front of Krispy Kreme going, man, they smell good. But if you walk by, that's okay. You can't stop that. Don't go near it. Don't park out front. Don't park out front. Because if you park out front, sooner or later you're going to find yourself on a stool inside a Krispy Kreme saying, I think I will have another. How do you get from compromise? You know, it doesn't hurt you to smell it. It doesn't hurt you to window shop. I used to have a policy holder who used to say, it doesn't matter where you get your appetite as long as you go home to eat. Yeah, it does matter where you get your appetite. I read a study about 5 years ago that said smelling food can add 2 ounces to your weight. And you say, what's 2 ounces? See, I got to thinking, what if every sniff was 2 ounces? Yeah. I don't know about you. I don't need any more ounces. Yeah. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk. You know, walk, stand, and sit. Because if you stand, sooner or later, you're going to sit. And if you don't believe me, ask King David. Because he walked out on the patio and saw a woman bathing. Went back in. The next night he walked out and he just stood there and looked. The next night, how would you like a little din-din? People, God has made a way of escape. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. He's the way, he's the door, he's the truth, he's the life, he's our strength. He is our all in all. It's the only way to go from compromise to commitment. Because if you don't get over into commitment or surrender, however you want to say it, the poor people over here are never going to see anything but the church is so full of hypocrites. Kay mentioned it in class earlier. They're finding out. Yeah, look. People want to smoke pot, let them smoke pot. Now they're finding out. I mean, who would have thought this would happen since it slows you down? Yeah. I was on a ship with one pot smoker, and he ran. Those of you who were in the Navy know what the 1MC is. It's that loudspeaker. We had a fire one day, and he comes on and goes, this is not a drill. This is not a drill. Fire. Fire. Fire in compartment 03-2-13. I mean, the fire is raging by the time he gets. So I'm thinking that. And then there's people on the road. They go, slam on your brakes. And you go, okay. Like Steve Austin. Remember old Steve Austin? You're too young, Kanika. $6 million man, whenever he wanted to, went in the slow-mo. Yeah. They're saying, we're having more accidents since we made pot legal. Well, who would have thought that would happen? Well, they drive slower, so I was in court not too long, many years ago, and the judge says to the guy, he says, I don't think your child should ride with your wife anymore. Because my records show that she's had 14 accidents. He said, yeah, but they were all in parking lots or the driveway. And you think that makes sense? So there's slow accidents. People, God says, stay away. I don't want your tire hanging half off. I want your mirror scraped up when you come back. I don't want you to go near the door. Stay away from the door. It's a lot easier to deal with a door of sin by staying with a true door and staying close to Him. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Walk not, stand not, sit not. Because if you walk and stand, you're going to end up sitting. You've all heard the story about the man who gave up Krispy Kreme. And so he told God, I'm not going to eat Krispy Kreme unless I drive by and there's a parking spot right out front. So sure enough, the 14th time around the block, people, isn't that what we do with God? Just stop the compromise. You know, if you bend down like you're tying your shoe, they'll think you're tying your shoe, Shadrach, and they really won't, and you won't have to burn. You can, yeah, because let me tell you something. When everybody else is bowing, you know, on the plain of Dur, I would have looked like a giant. Because everybody else is down. And when you stand up for Jesus, people are going to notice. And then you're going to get fired. Like that hasn't happened. But yeah. But you know what? Not the hair of their head was singed, and they didn't even have the smell of smoke. Why? Tale of two doors. Door of temptation, door of escape. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we think about this, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And Father, you gave us a leader who has showed us what commitment is. As Jim says so often, his favorite saying is, I've kept more promises than I've made. God says the same thing. I've kept more promises than I've made. I just throw extras in just to tick the devil off. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the counsel. Don't even go near it. Stay away from it. Commit to Jesus. He's already committed to us. Some 2,000 years ago. And then he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I will never put you in a position that I will not be the way out. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for providing everything we needed in the past, everything we need now, and everything we will ever need in the future through eternity. Thank you, Father, for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. That's why God says, Moses, tell Aaron, when you're having days like these, tell the Israelites, Yahweh is able to bless you and protect you. Yahweh is able to make his face shine on you, and Yahweh is able to be gracious to you. Yahweh is able to look with favor on you and annihilate anything that comes against you.